Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Muslims, non-Muslims, and, you know, pizza eaters and people that don't like pizza, you're welcome here. And if you don't like pizza, it's weird because everybody should like it, but we still accept you, and you're still welcome to come to our table with us, although we will be eating pizza. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And I won't take up too much more of your time, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Imam Azhar.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, everybody, brothers and sisters, boys and girls. Thank you once again. And Carl, I had to laugh there with the pizza. Like, where did pizza come out of? Out of all the things that you could have put on the menu, you had to bring pizza today. Tell us why.
Well, see, so we're obviously recording this podcast over the internet, and I sat down to start doing the recording, and I looked at my webcam, and I realized I had pizza for dinner, and I actually have pizza sauce on my shirt. So I had to explain that to the imam so he didn't sit here and look at me through the whole podcast and go, what is wrong with this man's clothes? But now you know, it's because I'm a messy eater, and I have pizza sauce all over my shirt. So anyway, before we get too deep into things, I wanted to give a shout out to one of the guys at Tech Savvy.
Okay.
Thank you for catching my spelling error. Good call on your part. And Imam Azhar, I haven't shared this with you yet, but I asked him how he was enjoying the show, and he emailed back and he said, we're doing an awesome job. Please keep up and please keep going. So to the guys over at techsavvy.com, thank you so much for the shout out. Thank you so much for the support. And as long as Allah will allow us to continue doing this, we will continue, inshallah.
That's great. And it's so nice to hear that. And again, you know, you're talking about people's appreciation and how much they honor these type of discussions. And realistically speaking, you know, Carl, just want to go into something. I had an opportunity to join, Bob Gary, who is a dear friend of mine's. We got to know each other a couple of years back when I was part of an interfaith dialogue session taking place in a church in Longboat Key, Florida. Now, Carl, like you and the listeners, to Google that place. It's a beautiful island. It's so beautiful. You can't even describe it. You got golf courses aligned with the beach, and it's a beautiful area. And at that time, I was called to do an introduction to Islam 101. And at the end of the series, I was called back to take questions. Now, Carl, one thing I've noticed is that beyond the discussion of what is Islam, what is our faith, what are the tenets, what are the belief systems and the pillars, people have a lot of questions. And so what happened was Bob Gary, who is a former defense attorney, he was working for the Department of Justice. I'll just give you a quick background of Bob Gary so you get an idea. So Bob Gary, a former trial attorney with the United States Justice Department, organized crime section, and special assistant to the governor of Ohio. He was a great, amazing individual that was a participant in that last discussion, and he had many questions on Islam. And to cut it short, he came out at the end saying, you know what, you're the guy I want to work with. And I asked him why. And he said, because we want to know what the Quran in Islam says as it is. Because all those interpretations and all those manipulations and all those kind of beating around the bush has made matters more confusing to people. Does that make sense?
No, and that's why we're here, because there has been so much taken out of context, because there's so much that's been misconstrued and misstated and misused. And, you know, I'm even going to go out on a limb here And
sure,
and I don't think you're going to correct me, but if any of our listeners want to correct me, feel free to comment down below and shoot us an email. You'll be the topic of our next show. But sometimes it's not just the non-Muslims that misinterpret the Quran and the Hadith and the tenets of Islam. Sometimes Muslims allow culture to seep in, and it starts to, let's say it starts to pervert Islam on that level. So it's not just the non-Muslims now.
Well, I'm going to totally disagree with you there, Carl.
That's
totally
fine.
And the reason I'm going to totally disagree with you, because I don't believe it's the non-Muslims that are misconstruing the faith. It is because they are totally ignorant of what the faith entails. But what leads to that confusion, a pile-up effect, is when they see different things being said from different people, and they claim to be part of the faith. And so I believe 90% of the misconstruing of the religion itself happens from different cultural phenomenons and different mindsets that align themselves with the faith itself. And this is a frustration that Muslims in America are going up with. It's like, you know, what is it that X, Y, and Z has to be done, only to find out that has nothing to do with the faith. It's a cultural mindset which has been cloaked with the faith and forced into people. So I believe it's the people of the faith that have done a great disservice because of many factors. You have the cultural aspect. You have the narrow mindset aspect. You have those people who take the faith as a means to kind of backlash on people and to take revenge on people because of something that they couldn't get in their life. So it's being abused more than it's being used. So to tell you about my relationship with Bob Geary, and I'll give you a chance to respond to that, was our discussion at that day led up to a teaching session around 30 students, elderly folk, retired professional folk, about Islam and the Quran. That led to another step, which was a USF, University of South Florida, discussion in Sarasota campus. And Carl, we had a sellout crowd, a crowd sold out of almost 300 people. And not only was it a sellout crowd, they had 300 on standby for the next one, but we couldn't go ahead and do the next one. So I had the opportunity this past Monday, to go to the Longbow Key Education Center. He called me up and said to me, you know what, I'm discussing the Quran. And you know what, one thing amazing here, Carl?
What's that?
This guy is a Christian, and he's a former defense attorney, but he goes around preaching the Quran is a word of God first person. Now you tell me, what's your thoughts?
MashaAllah.
It's amazing. This guy goes on cruise lines. He talks about the Quran in Islam. You know why? Not because he's trying to convert people. He's trying to allow people to understand things in context. Look, Quran is a word of God first person. This is what God said. This is what it means. Yada, yada, yada. And so just take it from there. Because he sees this being the root cause that when people misunderstand and misinterpret and misalign themselves with what they perceive to be the faith, that becomes the opening of Pandora's box. And that's the breakdown effect. That's the snowball effect. That's the avalanche effect of everything systematically falling around us. So he asked me to come and participate, and I got stuck on one of those bridges because, you know, it's a snowbird season, right, Carl?
Yes.
You know what snowbird season is?
You know, being born and raised in New Hampshire, I am very familiar with snowbirds because we used to make fun of them because it was like, you're going to run away and you're going to go hide and we're going to stay here and we're going to deal with the six feet of snow and we're going to deal with the negative temperatures, but no, your little wimpy butt's going to run off to Florida, so off you go.
So that's exactly what it is. People come down to the south to enjoy the good weather and climate while the north suffers from snow and salt and sleet and ice and black ice and everything else. What happened was I got stuck on a bridge because the drawbridge opened. Of course, every second person's got a boat, and I got there. Yeah. I was supposed to get there 15 minutes early. I got there 45 minutes late.
Oh.
When I walked into the room, He was explaining the Quran. He was on slide number 30 something out of 65 slides, which, by the way, is half of the 150 plus slides that he has that we used before.
How long is his lecture?
So basically what happened in the USF discussion is that we literally did like a Jeopardy style. Like it was just like a boom, 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 boom. It's like, you know, this is the verse of Quran, Imam. What do you say about this? Okay, this is what it says. Okay, what is that? What is that? So like it was too much for people to take in. So he kind of cut it down, but he wanted to address key issues. He wanted to address women's treatment. Don't take the Jews and Christians as your awliya. And all these amazing verses of the Quran that the non-Muslims perceive to be radical and harmful and spiteful. So I walked in and it was a room. And you could check out my Facebook if the followers there. Check me out on Azhar Subedar on Facebook. Join me and follow my journey in what I do. And it was just amazing that all these elderly folk were sitting there very serious and attentive to learn about Islam. So I took over and I discussed a few verses and we opened the floor for questions. But you know what, Carl? The questions were too much to handle because everyone has so much on their chest. They have legitimate concerns. They want them to be addressed. Many of them never understood that. You know, they might have met a Muslim in their life, but I might have been the first Muslim that they're meeting as a Muslim. And so there were so many questions and there was so much frustration. So we agreed I'm going to go back next Monday and take the hour and a half and take their questions. So Carl, to answer your question is I feel that the misunderstanding comes from my side, not from their side. I'll give the example of a father. A father tells the eldest son, hey, go to the fridge, grab me a bottle of Coke, right?
Yes.
And then the elder brother goes, hey, you know what? I'm lazy. I'm just going to tell my younger brother, who I bully, hey, go get the Coke. So the young brother, being naive and attentive and respectful, he's going to go open the fridge. He tries to jump for the top shelf. It's too high for him. He jumps harder. He grabs the bottle, but unfortunately, he drops it. When he drops it, it breaks. Now the father comes running to the kitchen. He sees a Coke is shattered on the floor. Who is he going to tell off? He's not going to tell off the young one because he never gave the obligation to the young one. He gave that duty to the elderly one. He said, go you and do it. So today we're expecting as Muslims that non-Muslims should have no beef with our religion or our Quran or our Sunnah or whatever, you know, whatever is the Sharia. They should just accept and embrace it because we don't understand half of it, but we accept and embrace it. And we're fighting over things ourselves. And we have different factions coming out from Islam and saying that we are representing Islam. So my goal, Carl, is that we need to address the matter in-house first. We need to empower one another to understand what Islam is and what it truly stands for. And then we need to sift out this culture and these rituals and these practices, which have nothing to do with the faith, rather than make it difficult.
Amen. See, we weren't. So I wasn't. You don't disagree with me because you said what I was trying to say just differently, which is why this podcast is Raw Islam with Imam Azhar and not with BC Dodge. But yeah, go ahead.
No, so, you know, Carl, taking up to that point, you know, that we want to once and for all restore a sane and stable, true narrative of the faith. That every and anyone at any given time in any place on this earth can understand Islam for what it is and take it from there. And it's not rocket science because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, and I'll say in Arabic, "Inna dina yusr." And deen means the way of life, the way of existence. He didn't say "Inna Islam." He said "Inna deen," because Islam is the doctrine, the path, and the rules and the regulation, which are only like, you know, I was studying the Quran because I'm going to be doing decoding the surahs of the Quran is a series that I'll talk about soon. I'm going to be taking that on the road to Dallas.
Can
next
you say
week.
That? Say that one more time.
Decoding the surahs of the Quran.
Surahs. Okay.
Now, this is crazy because every surah is a surah. We know the names. We know when it was revealed. We know the content. But the surah itself, in its placement, in its presence, has a code. And I'm decoding each surah. and decoding it and kind of putting the whole message out there. It's like Morse code. So it's going to break the code, understand what the Quran is saying. So in studying the Quran just yesterday and today, I'm just getting things ready, that around 500 verses of the Quran are commandments, the do's and the don'ts. Only 500 of the 6,000 plus. The rest are about encouragement. They're about stories. They're about the greatness of God, the creation of God, the power of God. So again, we want to restore it sane and stable. So Islam is the doctrine, the law, the rule, the way, the path. But deen is how you tread it. You are on one road. Someone's riding a motorcycle. Someone's riding a bicycle. Someone's walking. Someone's in a vehicle. Regardless, everyone's on the same road. They tread it differently. Ultimately, each one gets to their, you know, their desired destination. The Prophet Muhammad said, in the deen, the path that you tread of your Islam to your Allah is yusr. It's easy. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And no one makes a religion hard upon themselves except that it overpowers them. I.e., it becomes too hot to handle. Did you hear that one before, Carl? Too hot to handle.
No, I actually hadn't. I hadn't heard that, but I like that. It's really.
No, it's part of a song. I think it's a Ghostbusters, right? Too hot to handle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Cool to hold.
Yep.
Called Ghostbusters.
That's old school Bobby Brown from like the late 80s there from Ghostbusters 2. Oh, I'm such a nerd. I know exactly what movie that came from. Okay.
So, see, we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
So, Carl, you know, moving beyond all that, you know, I'm really disturbed this week because, you know, I want Islam to have its narrative, but at the same token, Islam cannot produce true results until or unless we ensure that we uphold, maintain, or at times restore justice and goodness for all people. Now, you heard that a mosque was burned down in California this week, right?
Yes.
Now, disturbing to me, I'm sure that's disturbing to you.
It is.
And it should be disturbing to anyone who's listening to that. But you know what's more disturbing to me? Is that 68 Jewish community centers, JCCs. I did a session at the JCC in Boynton Beach, Florida a couple of weeks ago. I had the honor and privilege to participate in a panel discussion in the Jewish Community Center of Boynton Beach, where they welcomed us. They were very respectful. They shed their concerns. They asked honest questions, and they walked away in a much better state. And I can't forget an elderly lady. She got up and she had almost tears in her eyes. And she said to me, I'm scared of you. She said to me, I'm scared of you, but I love you as my son. And that was so hard to handle because we are not getting out there and we're not working on something which is constructive. And so 68 Jewish community centers have received bomb threats in the last 6 weeks. And to top it off, a cemetery in St. Louis had its tombstones vandalized and broken because they were Jewish. Now, if you are a Muslim of Islam who believes in Allah and the Quran, you will then cry because this is not an action that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit back and just watch happen. Nor would he smile, nor would he applaud, nor would he in his inner body say, yes, they get it. No, he'd rather get out there. And I want to, you know, give a shout out to all the wonderful folks like Tariq Al-Masidi, Linda Sarsour, and all the people from Launch Good and these people who got out there. They started these drives. And you know what? In a fraction of the time, they raised the 20,000 needed. And you know what? Forget 20,000. When J.K. Rowling talked about the Muslims raising funds for the Jewish community, it ended up tripling. Even Ellen got on top of the game. She also thanked people. It was just amazing. And I think right now, this evening, we're looking at $63,000 or $65,000 raised to help those graves that were desecrated by hateful people. And if a person is not following that Islam, the right Islam, they will applaud it, they will cheer it. And our Quran always tells us every Friday when the Imam ends his sermon, Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Allah commands justice in doing good. So we have to understand that we're living in some weird times where people are adamant to go out there and desecrate graves, to kill people because they're not of their color or language, to shout and curse and to speak open profanity in front of innocent children, to bully people, harass people, and to beat up people, to spray paint on the walls graffiti of religious centers and places of worship. How do we curb this evil trend? And how do we stop it? There's two ways. Number one is we have to start standing up for each other, and we should never look down on the other. They are equally important. They are our brothers and sisters of the human race. And number two, we need to start getting out there and taking our time and educating people as to what those fears are, so that we can quell and dismiss those fears which are leading up and festering to this demonic level of getting out there and killing other people. We can't live in that world. I tell myself, Carl, and correct me if I'm wrong, how can I sleep at night and how could I eat food in the day when this stuff is happening in a land where we once upon a time were living in harmony and peace? We understood that our diversity is what made us unique in the world, not it was a pullback for us in the world. It actually made us leaders of the free world. What has happened to us? This should be the concern of every listener, not just every Muslim, not just every person who's out there in the workforce or who is educating himself. The ones that are retired, the ones that are young, the ones that are old, the ones here in the East and the ones here in the West and those in the East, everyone needs to understand that this has to become part of my top priorities in order to maintain a good and peaceful and prosperous world.
So if I'm not mistaken, what you were saying a moment ago is, I believe it's actually a hadith, which is how can you eat your full fill when your neighbor has nothing, and how can you be happy when your neighbor is sad? I'm not sure what the exact hadith is or what the exact story is that surrounds that, but I know I've heard that, and I know people have taught me that before.
And I could just give you enlightenment on the hadith. And the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, that person is not a believer who goes to sleep full while their neighbor is hungry. He said, they're not a believer. If we want to be believers, we have to think beyond ourselves. We cannot be selfish. People of faith, regardless of their faith, we are people of selflessness. Faith allows us to free ourselves from the shackles of our self-centrism and move towards being selfless and thinking for the entire humanity. And, you know, what can we do right now? For all our listeners and for you and I, we need to reach out in the next 5 to 6 days and go and meet with our Jewish community members and to give them that consolation and give them that resolve and let them know from ourselves, give them that confidence that we are here for each other. I'm reaching out to my Jewish brothers and sisters. I'll be going tomorrow night to Orlando. We got a program after which I'm going to try to meet with my Jewish community friends. We need to remember, we all have to help one another. We need to reach out to everyone, and we need to make sure that we look out for everyone. We can never see wrong happening and just turn a blind eye. We need to inform law enforcement officials. If we see someone being harassed or bullied, or if someone is being threatened on the bus that we're sitting, call 911. Why? Because every human being deserves to be protected. Every human being deserves their dignity and honor to be upheld. Every human being deserves to be treated as a human being.
Now, I have to ask, just because you didn't go real in depth, you just touched on it real quick, but you said the woman said that she was afraid of you, but she loved you, like her mm-hmm. brother.
Like a son.
And did she explain why she was afraid of you?
So I'll tell you all the story. So when we were having questions and answers, and of course all the questions are around, you know, do you guys affiliate with ISIS? Do you guys want to bomb America? Do you want to bring Sharia law to America? Do you want us all to wear niqabs and cut off our heads? These are not, you know, before you could have said, man, these people are crazy. They got some weird thoughts. But these are real rooted fears. I'm saying these things are rooted, and they're not saying it in a mocking fashion. They really mean it. And so I answered some of her questions. I told her, look, ma'am, I said, let's do the math together. Islam came 1,400 plus years ago. ISIS has been around for 4 years, right? That goes to tell. If Islam was about killing people and totally terrorizing every faith and every culture and every people and every race outside of its own, when Islam spread into the heart of Europe and into Africa and into parts of Asia, they would have done away with the Jews and the Christians and the churches and the synagogues and the temples and the gurdwaras and the idols. Islam didn't do that. Islam doesn't teach us to do that. The first 13 years of Islam, Meccan surahs, over 82 surahs of the Quran are Meccan. What that means is they were revealed in the first 13 years of Islam. They were revealed at a time where no commands came down to go and fight and defend yourself and stand up for yourself or not to drink alcohol or how to dress. These commands came down in the last few years in the remaining portion of those surahs. And in those times is when Allah had commanded us to go and wage war. For what? To defend yourself. And again, we could talk about this another day, is that, you know, what is jihad and what is terrorism? I think that should be a topic of discussion. I hope you can note that down, Carl. We need to talk about that too.
Duly noted.
And so what happened was, you know, I gave her the breakdown of how, you know, they left Medina, they fled. And my khutbah for this Friday, just to all my listeners, my Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, too, was a refugee. He, too, was a refugee. And so our Islam became whole when refugees fled their homes, fled persecution from their own family members to the hands of the pagans and the Jews, who embraced them with whole hearts, and Allah honored them with the title of Ansar, the helpers. And from there, Islam became whole. And then when they were being attacked, Islam obliged upon the believers to go and wage war to defend the land, to defend the people, to defend their families and properties, and to defend their faith from those polytheist idolaters who were coming from Mecca 500 kilometers north, determined to kill Prophet Muhammad and the people. That's a story for another time. So anyways, we had the discussion, and at the end of the discussion, when everyone got up and started shaking hands and stuff, she came up to me, she grabbed me, she hugged me, she gave me a kiss on the cheek, and she said to me, I love you, and thank you. You know, if we are, and remember you said about the hadith about going to sleep full and neighbor hungry, if we're going to sleep and we're at peace, but our neighbor is in the state of fear, our neighbors are fearful, what does that say about us? That they smile to us in the morning and evening, a false smile, because they're scared. If they do otherwise, we may blow up their house at nighttime. What has happened? We have to understand that we're part of the problem. It's not something that we said or done. It's rather what we didn't say and what we didn't do. So we need to get out there and help. So I think these building bridges, number one, standing up for the other. Number two. Number three, educating ourselves and our families and our communities to set forth the sane and stable narrative of Islam is the top three priorities, and it's the calling of the moment,
you know,
in the world that we live in.
You know, the one thing about that hadith that has always struck me, and I feel like some people, Muslim or non-Muslim, they tend to overlook the one word, which is, or the two words, which is your neighbor. It doesn't say your Muslim neighbor. It doesn't say the Muslims around you. It doesn't say it's just your neighbor, which could be anybody.
Exactly. And I think it's clear, but we don't see it. As Allah says in a verse of the Holy Quran that, you know, you've been commanded to worship Allah and not to associate partners with Him. وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to do kindness with the parents. And then وَبِذِي الْقُرُبَى, relatives. yatama, the orphans, wal masaki, the destitute, wal jari al-qurba, wal jari al-junubi, wal sahibi bil-jambi, wa bin al-sabil. Three different types of neighbors were laid out, and even the traveler, wa ma malakat aymanukum, and all those who are under your authority, your employees and people who work for you, to do good to them. Your jari al-qurba, the close neighbor, the side neighbor. These are all told in the Quran. Once the Prophet Muhammad told us in a narration, the Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, came to me and he continued to inform me about the rights of the neighbor to the extent that I thought he would make the neighbor a heir, that the neighbor would inherit from me if I was to die. That's how much right the neighbor has on us. So this is not something we could do haphazardly, or maybe when we want to do it, or when Allah forbid a crisis occurs, just reach out to the neighbor and say, hey, you know, are you okay? No, we are supposed to actively be doing this, not passively, and we need to continue to do it and not just seasonally.
Amen. Now, I'm looking at the clock and we're getting along in our time, so I want to pause for a second and I want to make sure, because during these shows we always like to pimp ourselves out. Find the Venn Network on Facebook, find the Venn Network on Twitter. And I'm very happy to announce tonight, find Raw Islam in iTunes. I finally overcame the technology issue there. But you personally, outside of this podcast, have some things that you need to take a moment to pimp, because you've got, you know, I've started some of these shows by saying the busiest imam that I know, and you know, somebody might listen and laugh at that because they don't follow you on Facebook. But before we started hitting record tonight, you gave me at least three things that you're doing. So run us down the list of these. I don't, mashallah, brother, I don't know where you get the energy and the time.
No, alhamdulillah, mashallah, may Allah accept. So to all the listeners, if you want to know more about myself, Azhar Subedar on Facebook. If not, go to my website, imamazhar.com or iazhar.com. We were having some technical difficulties with imamazhar.com today, but iazhar.com is up and running. It gives you a breakdown of what I'm doing and what I have done and where I want to go in my future path. Because what we talked about today is exactly what, not only is it something I'm passionate about, but I'm trying to create leaders of tomorrow that can take on the challenges of the moment and thrive and succeed to bring humanity together. So imamazhar.com, and a shout out, a real big shout out to Sarfraz Khan, my close and dear friend, my brother from another mother. This guy has been there for me always. He's been on top of his game when it comes to my website. So alhamdulillah, he's working on it. We're working on it every night to kind of update it. From there are two active areas of focus that are coming soon. And I want you all to realize that and just be informed. The first is the Mahabba Institute, and the website is Mahabba, M-A-H-A-B-B-A-H, Mahabba, which means love, mutual love, Institute. And this institute is about teaching the religion and building the leaders of tomorrow through personal development and community development. And our focus is to bring about that teaching of Islam, which is inclusive of love and unity and togetherness for all, which most people today perceive the religion of Islam is void of. So alhamdulillah, that's up and running. Thanks to Salman, our attorney up in New York, who helped us get all the paperwork done. And he also helped us with the O People Foundation. The Quran says, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said when he entered Medina, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. He didn't say, O Muslims, O Jews, O Christians, O people of book, or O Arabs. He said, O people. So we have the O People Foundation, and we just got that nonprofit up and running. The paperwork is almost done, and this will highlight the work that we're doing as we actively go out, my team and I, and we build bridges with the non-Muslim community. We stand up for the non-Muslim community. We stand together. I'm actually invited to be part of a discussion with Equality Florida and the Jewish community in St. Petersburg coming up in a few weeks. So we're going to continue doing this work and simultaneously educate the Muslim community members how they too can be active participants in this mission for one and all. So Mahabba Institute, the Old People Foundation, and imamazhar.com. And of course, a big shout out to Imran, Minal, and Nida, Ahsan, my fellow students and great friends, and like my brother and sister. They have done their utmost best to lay the foundation down for the O People Foundation and for the Mahabba Institute. So for them all and all the names I take, and may Allah bless all of them for their contributions towards a better future, and may Allah accept it from them and accept it from us all. Ameen. And you know what, Carlos, one more thing. Can I just put it in?
Well, your name is on the title of the show, so you can do whatever you want.
Okay, I'm just going to throw a hint out there. In the next 2 months, inshallah, a very important book is coming out, and we've been working on it. And this is not just myself. This is my friend Bob Gary, the former defense attorney. Him and I are putting together a book that's going to, inshallah, challenge the fears and the phobias that people are either scared because of it, or people are banking off of those fears. Inshallah, it's going to come out. We want everyone to keep us in their prayers. There's a lot of work to be done out there. Your support, your encouragement, spread the word. Let people know what we're doing. Become part of the team. Become part of the movement. Let's change the face of how Islam is perceived. Let's unite humanity once more. And let's make this world a better place for us all.
Amen.
Amen.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pizza lovers and non-pizza lovers, we thank you once again for tuning in and downloading Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And until next time, make sure you send us those questions. Make sure you keep us updated. Make sure you let us know what's going on. Drop us an email. Leave a comment in the comment section below. And share this podcast with your friends, because you never know what they'll want. So until next time, Imam Azhar, thank you for joining me again tonight for your show.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.